many cases, the producers have only access to one type of fat or oil, and they always ask what we can do. Well, preferably, and also depending on the region and country, I would always suggest to add another source of fat and oil that has a bit of different fatty acid profile what you have right now, because if you do so, you can achieve two things. First and foremost, if you try to model the dietary fatty acid profile of the particular species, let it be pigs, poultry, whatnot, you can achieve a much better zootechnical performance parameters. And this has been proven. Secondly, everyone is talking about gut health and reduction of excessive or subtherapeutic antibiotic usages. And if you do so dietarily, you give a chance for a better gut health status. You can achieve it through nutrition.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
AccuGut C.1 is a proven solution for your coccidiosis toolbox. Give those traditional tools a break and rotate to AccuGut C.1. Visit dsm-firmenich.com/AccuGut to learn more. AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost poultry health and performance. Natural Biologics is looking deeper to find the natural solutions to your poultry health challenges. Nexus, powered by SAM, where science meets performance. Sid Lines, an Ecolab company, AV Prime program offers a broad range of cleaning and disinfection solutions combined with tailored advice to improve hygiene on your farm or hatchery. For over 40 years, Jeffo has been redefining animal nutrition with high-performance, non-medicated solutions. At the core is Jeffo Matrix technology, a disruptive approach that synchronizes nutrient release for precise delivery. Active in 65 countries, we develop cutting-edge formulas, essential oils, enzymes, and acidifiers to optimize health, performance, and reproduction. Jeffo is transforming animal feeding, making life easier for animals and people who care for them.
Welcome to the Poultry Podcast Show. Today, I am here with the one and only Shandor. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I'm very happy to be back, and all my best regards to my Visonix colleagues and to you too.
Oh, I'm excited to have a chat with you today about some different topics in poultry nutrition. But first, I want to hear, how did you get into poultry?
Thank you for the question, Elizabeth. Well, I have been in this industry, meaning the international feed and feed additive industry, for more than 25 years. So it means I'm not a spring chicken anymore. Along my career, I had the luxury and privilege to work for a company originating from France, not naming names here, and today owned by a Chinese conglomerate. A very successful company, fantastic products, and they have been very keen on teaching us technical people. Every quarter, we were invited to France to a different production site or even partners we could visit. And I just got to love the poultry nutrition part of the general animal nutrition segment. Yeah. And I was actually achieving successes. I'm talking about 20, 21 years ago. Yeah. So that's how I liked it and got to grow into this a little bit.
Heck yeah. Had a little fun along the way.
Correct. There you go. You must love what you're doing. Otherwise, you know, job is just a job, right?
Yeah, 100% correct. in your current role, you're working on some different aspects of poultry nutrition, and one of those areas is some fatty acids that are specific to different species. So what can you tell me maybe about poultry specifically? What are some of the current advances or some thoughts about this more targeted feeding of fatty acids?
Oh my goodness. We could talk for hours, but I try to summarize it in a couple of minutes. Last week there was a EuroTier international exhibition here in Germany, in the city of Hanover, and this is every 2 years, so this is a big event. And we were all excited about the poultry segment, and development of latest feeding technologies. And as you know, European Union especially is trying to weed out the deforestation issues. So meaning we try to get into a more transparent approach and also more transparent sources of feed, fats, and oils. Mm-hmm. And namely soy, sunflower, canola oil as an example. We want to source them from more verifiable sources for one right. hand. And also we do want to understand how we can fine-tune the application rate of these relatively inexpensive or sometimes expensive or volatile pricing happens in the market. So we need to understand all the its and bits of oil and fat metabolism and nutrition. Plus, the recent advances suggest that it takes, it's good to know the fatty acid profile of your feed, oils, and fats.
So what do you think about single sourced oils versus maybe combining a few? Because it may not always be possible to have mm-hmm. like entirely soy oil from one source, right? So what are some of the thoughts about where you get the oils and then maybe how they might be combined?
Well, I'm very lucky because I'm traveling globally a little bit because of my position. And I have exactly sometimes facing the same issues and questions mm-hmm. that you just named it. Many cases, the producers have only access to one type of fat or oil, and they always ask what we can do. Well, preferably, and also depending on the region and country, I would always suggest to add another source of fat and oil that has mm-hmm. a bit of different fatty acid profile what you have right now, because if you do so, you can achieve two things. First and foremost, if you try to model the dietary fatty acid profile of the particular species, let it be pigs, poultry, whatnot, you can achieve a much better zootechnical performance parameters. And this has been proven. Secondly, everyone is talking about gut health and reduction of excessive or subtherapeutic antibiotic usages. And if you do so dietarily, you give a chance for a better gut health status. You can achieve it through nutrition, and that every bit of a little bit of approach or management trick helps to improve your bottom line, especially on mortality and excessive medications and so on.
So are you kind of moving towards identifying specific roles in the animal that are outside or in addition to nutrition? Because we always think about, here are the fatty acids that the animal requires. So what are you hoping that some of these roles fill? Is it a microbiological niche? Is it, you mm-hmm. know, maybe bioactivity? Is that kind of where the thought process is moving?
That's a very interesting question, because once you understand, okay, let me backtrack us a little bit, that our audience is more familiar with what the concept is all about. So if you would squeeze the chicken, unfortunately not hurting any feelings here in terms of animal rights, but if you would measure the total fatty acid profile of a chicken as an example, you would recognize that about 30-35%, depending on the type of breed and age of growth, that the total saturated fatty acid profile is about 30-35%. The remainder is mono or poorly unsaturated fatty acids. Now, if you only have just access to soy oil as an example, mm-hmm. not trying to, you know, bash on soy oil, nothing is wrong with it. In fact, it's a fantastic high energy density oil. But if you only feed that one and you would measure the fatty acid profile of soy oil, you would recognize that the total saturated fat content is below 20% volume percentage base. Now, the remainder is either mono or polyunsaturated fatty acids. I'm sure if it's a good quality, nothing serious will happen. However, let it be a bit of a rancidity here and there, and it can happen along the manufacturing process of the feed, on storage and so on. Even the birds themselves could be subclinical signs of disease. Anything is possible. Then these relatively not a big amount in the feed goes, maximum 5% technically, depending on the growth age of the birds. That could exacerbate a bit of a gut level of, oxidative stress, and then can affect and trigger a cascade of problems, dysbiosis. And I think back to your specific question on this regard, depending on the fatty acid profile, we could technically modulate a little bit the microbiota or the micro as part of the microbiome of the chicken.
Yeah.
Especially so, which is one of our excellence or technical expertise in my company here, that the medium chain fatty acids and short chain fatty acids can really do that job for us. And I think our nutritionists today must learn about these opportunities and let it be a pure fatty acid or any kind of esterified variety.
Yeah. Yeah. So it seems like matching something the animal would have naturally would be the primary goal. And then beyond that, you know, doing your best if you don't have access to maybe separate different types of oils would be the second best.
Correct. And you know, if you just only have one type of oil, a supplementation of another one, which is a totally or markedly different fatty acid profile, can be an ideal match to achieve your species-specific fatty acid profile dietarily. And also, we learned from pigs or swine nutrition that the different type of fatty acids can affect subcutaneous or intramuscular fat depositions together with the de novo liponeogenesis, technically, which are basically starch-based. So if you can get it together, all these different applications, you can really do a lot of good things to your birds and also to your bottom line, in my opinion.
Yeah. So historically, I know you may not have always worked with fatty acids, but over the past 20 years, have different oils kind of become favorite? Does it really have to do with byproducts from other industries and what's available? Or is there a different shift that's happening? You know, like why we might be combining different oils today than even 20 years ago? Is it manufacturing driven or are we asking for oils? You know, there's like maybe two different or more reasons.
Well, for one hand, you know, we predominantly are using seed oils these days, both for human nutrition and also for animal nutrition. And of course, these seeds are grown in a big amount in many geographical locations. Obviously, which are the sunflower, canola seeds. But in the tropical and subtropical areas of the globe, we have the palm fruit, and the palm fruit has the mesocarp oil, which is the crude palm oil, plus the seed oil, which is highly valued medium chain fatty acid source. Or let it be the rice bran oils, if you go to Thailand as an example. So there's a lot of choices available. Definitely, we are trying to utilize the seeds, oils, or the byproducts, so to speak, because human nutrition enjoys predominant attention first. And whatever is left, we try to, of course, feed our chickens and pigs and fish and so on. And I think understanding the quality of these even feed grade or byproduct oils or even primary source oils, it helps a lot today's and future nutritionists to tailor make the fatty acid profile of this of the tissues of the target animals.
Yeah. So is that, I mean, can we do that in practice? Do nutritionists have the tools available to get a good analysis of the oils that might be coming in, or is it kind of at the whim of whatever feed mill they're using? I mean, is that, do we have the capability to do what you're saying, tailor make at a large scale?
I think we can. And today, our analytical background all over the world, or the tools available for such analyses are more widely available for one hand. And I think, like, if I take the example of our company, we have just recently remodeled the laboratory capabilities of our global manufacturing hub, which is in Malaysia, from where we supply worldwide the different fatty acid products. I would say this is today a mandatory need, especially for the professional companies. When you think about from the end user's point of view, I think it pays attention, or it pays to pay attention quarterly at least to review what you have, let it be a spot check. And also, if you make feed for chickens, probably the farmers or the integration who is buying your feed is going to give you a hard time or a blessing when the birds or flocks are performing well. So I think nowadays the feed mills have professional nutritionists who really know feed formulation. They also have PhDs and master's degrees and whatnot. Tremendous experience is available. So I think when I started out myself, it's a huge leap and a very, very fantastic development in our industries. So I think today, those who want to know the quality of their raw materials, including fats and oils, they can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have kind of a related question, I guess. So we change quality of the lipids we put in. Do you think we have the capability to make the food products taste better? I mean, do the eggs have a more robust flavor? It can be hard with chicken breast because it's a low fat, you know, part of the animal, but maybe the thighs, can we get a more flavorful thigh? I mean, the world is shifting. Like, we're looking at maybe eating more of the dark meat or having a preference because of flavor profile.
I think it's a multifaceted question, but fantastic question, Elizabeth, because I believe if you would talk to a nutritionist or a product development from the essential oil industry, they definitely would confirm my supposition that essential oils, together with any kind of general large-scale feed fat and oil, can favorably influence the olfactory characteristics of different tissues, not just modulating the gut microbiota and make it healthier. There's a strong correlation that, yes, you can alter the fatty acid, either the fatty acid profile of certain tissues, like the dark meat parts of the chicken, or you can enlarge the fatty acid content cells in the chicken breast even. And, you know, we all know, and at least I hope that today's and future nutritionists will be very well aware that in poultry, 1/3 of the taste is coming from the subcutaneous fat. And that we can highly influence with dietary fats. Mm-hmm. Which are these dietary fats? Let's name them a little bit. These are palmitic acid. I know the palm oil and all these things. But the palmitic acid is C16, saturated fat. And if you make a poultry-specific fatty acid profile, meaning that the total saturated fat is about 30% and the remainder 70% is total unsaturated fats, if you take 2/3 of the 30%, which is about 20% as palmitic acid or some kind of saturated fat, it can be also coconut, fantastic, or the combination of coconut, which is primarily lauric acid, and together with palmitic acid, you can do a fantastic taste improvement. And also a cooking characteristic. You may not need to cook the chicken part or the breast, or maybe you can tailor make, and I hope it will happen in my lifetime, that we can have a fatty acid profile in the diet that we can make a grilled chicken taste fantastic. You know, and maybe another type of approach could be considering religious considerations or some other cooking methods would prefer to have a boiled chicken and so on. I know in Southeast Asia, you know, the chicken rice is very popular as an example. Or we all over the world, we love grilled chicken, right? And we like to have the succulent, crunchy feeling of, you know, and at the same time taste. So I think animal nutrition of the near future will shift to this, not just providing energy, not just providing fatty acid or preventing them from bacterial infections and so on.
Yeah. Yeah. I am all about
I'm sorry,
the
I'm talking
flavor.
Too much.
No, this is great. I am all about improving chicken's flavor.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. So I think that's great. And so if you were going to feed the most precise combination of fats, what would you feed for chicken? It sounds like palmitic might be in there, but like, what are your favorite fats to feed chicken and for the specific maybe profiles?
Well, I'm privileged to travel Southeast Asia a lot. Mm-hmm. So if I have the chance, I would use a combination of crude palm oil and coconut oil.
Mm.
Okay. Because yeah. The crude palm oil is has a very nice darkish color because of the leukotrienes in there. Mm-hmm. And also antioxidant compounds. And the coconut oil is absolutely super choice in terms of being a medium chain fatty acid source plus modulating the gut. I think that's really fantastic. Tastes very good. And surprisingly, another example of this, I would say if you can reuse the yellow grease or slaughterhouse waste to feed your birds. So meaning the grease collected at the slaughterhouse feeding back to birds, not to other species, just back to birds. For instance, duck oil into chickens, that mm-hmm. is also making it a special taste.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that one. So that's what I would use as an example.
Yeah, and I love the sustainability factor. I mean, when you can find a stream to use a product in, I mean, that's huge.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, our company, we have been thinking about this, how to do this, what you have been asking, Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. And actually, for those for later on, if they want to have a reference, we have a calculation or prediction tool, what mm-hmm. could be the ideal fatty acid ratio and what would be the composition of that fatty acid ratio. This is just my my marketing effort here, but we created this a simple Excel table which is very useful, and technically today's predominantly unsaturated fatty acid seed oils that are being used in the industry can be fortified with a palmitic acid source as an example. And this is why Bergenschmidt is one of the forerunners of this research and development in this regard, because it doesn't take too much an additional fat source to modulate what you already have. What you already have is good enough. But I think if you want to be better on that one or want to have an impact and influence, I think an additional couple of percentage wise, so meaning 10 to 15 kilo per ton additional or another fat source, which we are manufacturing actually, is great. And I also have to mention to your question, Elizabeth, that not only soy oil, but soy crude soy lecithin and lecithin products are absolutely going to be playing a more important role in the future, in my opinion, in this regard.
Yeah. So does any of this maybe improving gut health and some other parameters, are you seeing that translate to food safety? I mean, as well, like reducing salmonella load or any other things that would be just, I mean, amazing to do for the poultry industry?
I think we are one of those companies that we are contributing, and we have to work in synergy with others in this regard. So I think the complexity of this issue, I mentioned essential oil as an example. Our company is also manufacturing lecithin products and lecithinated fat powders for monogastric animals. We have dedicated medium chain fatty acids. And I think if somebody wants to just improve the gut microbiota composition, I think they should go directly to the medium chain fatty acid derivatives, as pure as possible. So they will, you know, stop the over excessive proliferation of either gram positive or gram negatives. We have the right chain length fatty acids for those. If somebody wants to do this, we already have the technology on hand. If you want to add additional broad spectrum, they have to combine these fatty acids.
Yeah. I'm
talking about CHC 10, C 12.
Yeah.
If you want to add a species specific dietary approach, then you have to add a little bit of palmitic acid and flavoring, like could it be a thymol or cinnamaldehyde? So I think the permutations are technically endless in this regard.
Yeah. That's really cool. The customization, I think, is what everybody's looking for.
I think it's going to happen. Otherwise, no chance.
Yeah. So what do you think then about maybe some final considerations for formulation, what it might change as far as diet cost, or maybe it might provide a value-added product? I mean, there seems to be like endless opportunity.
Yes, I think in the bottom line, we are also here for making a living, absolutely. And I think that besides understanding the fatty acid profile or whatever fat or lipid source that you may have, I think the application of emulsifiers, let it be natural nutritional emulsifiers, lysolecithins or a combination of lyso and synthetic emulsifiers will grow. Why? Not just to make it more efficient what you already have, the application, so meaning a bit of a reduction and still maintaining productivity would be a driving force. But also, I think these special compounds, which are also lipid-derived, will help us to reduce the CO2 emission on a 1 kilo live weight gain. And I think that would be super important to have a improved sustainability and a nature-conscientious production system.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that the poultry industry is always pushing the sustainability, and there's so many umbrellas under just you know, the big overarching sustainability. So there's a lot of different approaches, which is great.
So in final, just understand your fatty acid profile and confer with those who understand it a bit better. Make calculations. We are here to help. And then reformulate definitely can save money, especially when you are using emulsifiers.
Yeah,
I guarantee you that one.
Yeah. So are there any topics that we didn't mention kind of under the category of the fatty acids today that you just wanted to make sure people understood? Oh, I mean, there's a lot.
That's right. We could talk for hours, but I don't want to, you know, patience of our listeners. But we really understand now a basics of this technology, and I think it's great. It's always room for improvement, no doubt.
Yeah.
And I have the high hopes that the future nutritionists will embrace more and more of these species-specific fatty acid profile and understanding their fat sources better, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's great.
Lovely.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Boehringer Ingelheim. Health experts bring industry-leading knowledge and expertise to today's poultry producers to help them solve challenging health issues through smart, science-driven decision-making using the best resources available. Probiotech International. Creating the next generation of feed and water additives to improve animal nutrition, health, and well-being. Innovation is in our nature. Visit probiotech.com/EN for more information. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge. Adiseo provides nutritional solutions and services to help producers achieve their targets in a high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Making life easier for animals and those who care for them is the mission of Jeffo. AB Vista, an innovative animal nutrition company offering intelligent solutions for the poultry industry. The combination of innovative products, technical expertise, and cutting-edge services provide the ideal tools to drive poultry production. To learn more about AB Vista tools, check abvista.com.
Well, so before we wrap up, I'm going to ask you the same three questions we asked all of our guests. So maybe you've heard these before and you're ready to go. But
yes,
the first question is do you have a favorite poultry resource?
Well, I'm an online person, so technically I like the poultry side. Definitely, I always double check it.
Yeah.
And also I try to read because we are all busy. So going to a library or having a printed out material is no longer my first choice. So I do go to online sources. Mm-hmm. So the poultry site is one of them. And also all the major international industry journals have their equivalent of websites. So that's what I'm getting my sources. Plus I'm talking to my colleagues globally.
Yeah, that's great. Do you have a favorite non-poultry resource or reference that you've been using lately?
It's a good question because from time to time, I have to go back to my physiology and biochemistry books. Seriously. It's been a long time. I studied those, especially the de novo lipo neogenesis.
Yes.
It's a topic that I had to look up really because to remind myself all the compositions and the steps and inflammatory markers in fatty acid nutrition is also very important. I mean, what is the beneficial omega 6, omega 3 ratio? Why those cascades of inflammatory and against inflammatory, how we can do that? But maybe it's a topic for another discussion. It's also very specific in this regard.
Yeah.
So I like chemistry and anything related with nutrition because our time is limited, you know.
I like those topics too. I liked biochemistry a lot more than chemistry.
Oh yes, biochemistry is better, right?
Yeah. Makes more sense to a nutritionist.
Correct. I agree.
So the last question I want to ask you before we wrap up is, what is your best advice to be successful in the poultry industry?
Oh boy. I think, as always, listen to your customers first and foremost, listen to the industry, and always and never stop learning. Let it be the craziest topic. Always look it up and try to educate yourself. Listen, I'm approaching the 6X and I'm still trying to learn something new every day. So as long as you can do that, I think it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. If you have open mind and willing to learn and be excelling in your profession, you have a chance to survive. That's closing.
That's great advice.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me today. This was great. And as usual, I have so many other topics I'd love to chat with you about. So maybe in the future we'll have another discussion. But thank you today so much for your time.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I'm looking forward to our next banter here. All the best to you and all the best to the listeners.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.